Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Hebrew word mercy, you don't have to remember, it means chesed. You find it approximately 150 times in the Old Testament, and in most cases, it's in reference to God showing mercy. And, of course, some have said, and I believe it's true, that the basic meaning of the word is just kindness. Now, you know kindness, don't you? And mercy is associated with the word kindness. And, of course, we're going to keep that in mind as we get into our study. Kindness is a very important part in the world today. In fact, a lot of it is lost. But we want kindness shown to us, but I'm going to use a big word. It's reciprocal. You know what that means? It means that if people show you kindness, you have to return kindness. That's what the word means. It's reciprocal. That is, you show it back. Nothing worse than showing kindness than you get slapped in the face for it. That's not kindness. God showed kindness to the world. Well, what did the world do? Crucified his son, said away with him. We do not want this man to rule or to reign over us. And people are still saying it today. In most cases, it's in reference to God showing mercy. And, of course, some have said, and I believe it's true, that the basic meaning of the word is just kindness. Now, you know kindness, don't you? And mercy is associated with the word kindness. And, of course, we're going to keep that in mind as we get into our study. Kindness is a very important part in the world today. In fact, a lot of it is lost. But we want kindness shown to us, but I'm going to use a big word. It's reciprocal. You know what that means? It means that if people show you kindness, you have to return kindness. That's what the word means. It's reciprocal. That is, you show it back. Nothing worse than showing kindness than you get slapped in the face for it. That's not kindness. God showed kindness to the world. Well, what did the world do? Crucified his son, said away with him. We do not want this man to rule or to reign over us. And people are still saying it today. God is merciful and he's kind, and that is the payback. I remember many years ago, and you've heard me tell the story, but I just refresh your memory, when a man had his car, it broke down outside of a farmhouse. And he went down to the farmer and told him his problem. Well, they not only helped him get a car going, but they gave him a meal to eat, you know, and really treated him royally, like farm people would do. And he wanted to pay them. And you know what the farmer said? He says, what kind of a world would it be if we can't show kindness to them in one way or the other? And so the man shook the hand and drove away. And it wasn't long until a man came with a brand new pickup truck with the farmer's name on it. And the farmer said, you got the wrong address. I have not ordered no pickup truck. He said, sir, are you George Brown? He said, yes. He said, well, George Brown, this your address? Yes. He says, well, here's a letter with this truck. And he opened the letter and it says, what kind of a world would it be if you can't show kindness to someone in this world? Signed, Henry Ford. Henry Ford was the first man who invented the car. At least I believe I'm right. You know the Ford cars today? Well, Mr. Henry Ford sent them a brand new pickup truck. So there was a little kindness shown that really paid off in the long run, didn't it? Kindness will always go a mile, but meanness won't get off the ground. I'll tell you that now. All right, so Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Or, let me paraphrase it, do not forsake mercy and truth. It doesn't mean that if you stick to truth that you're neglectful in mercy. A lot of people get confused with this. You see, truth must be truth, remains truth. And you show mercy, but not at the expense of truth itself. Friends, if we stand before God, you say, I am a sinner. That's truth. Mercy says, God says, but I'm going to forgive you as a sinner. So you can't deny the fact that we're sinners and we're failing creatures, you see. But that's truth. Truth of the Word of God. You cannot compromise the Word of God. That's truth. But yet, even when we fail God, that's a fact. But mercy says, I will help you in your failures. I'll help you in your weakness. I'll help you when you stumble. Remember the slogan I used the other night in the French Foreign Legion Army? The slogan was, if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, lift me up. If I retreat, shoot me. Now, that's not the Christian's motto, although sometimes Christians will shoot you down. Sad, but it's said that the Christian movement is the only movement where the people, their own people, shoot their wounded. Boy, if that is true, that's one of the saddest things in the world. We must never shoot or injure the wounded Christian. If he's wounded by failure, or if he stumbles, we must not shoot him down further. We must not trample on him. We must not push him down. While at the same time, the Word of God says that the wages of sin is death, and it says they, if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. That's truth. You can't deny that. You jump off a building, you're going to come down because we broke a law. You can't do anything about that law, the law of gravity. And so it's true when we fail. But God always picks us up. He always heals the bruises and the wounds. That's mercy, you see? And that's what we're trying to convey in our lesson this morning. Hosea 4:1 said, there is no truth nor mercy nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, boy, that is really sad. When you don't have any truth, you have no mercy and no knowledge. Man, that's chaotic. You got a society, you got a world that's void of law and void of right and wrong. That's what these philosophers are introducing to the world today. That's why we have so much crime the way we do, and so much sin in the world today, rampant, because they feel they can do what they like and get away with it. And most of them do. Most of them do. You shoot a dog, you go to jail for 3 years, you see. Throw a baby off the highway, they put you in the hospital, say you're sick, you're mental. Throw your baby down the highway so cars could run over and kill it, they just put you in a hospital, and you watch television, you get your food 3 times a day, and I know they're ill people mentally, don't misunderstand me, but every time sinful deeds are committed, they want to attribute that to a mental problem. So that's what the lawyers really go after, you see? And they get off. They get off. Well, anyhow, the land that's void of mercy, void of truth and knowledge, is in a bad state of affairs. And we come to the New Testament, the Greek word you find 27 times. And again, it has a strong meaning of pity along with kindness. Showing mercy, being pitiful, being kind. It's an outward manifestation. We come before God and we say, Lord, we thank you that we are able to come to your throne of what? Mercy. I tell you, we wouldn't be here today had it not been for the mercy of God, you see? And Ephesians 2:4, the Christian, Paul writing to the church, says, we're rich in mercy. We sure are. Titus 3:5 says, we're saved by his mercy. Jude 21, we have eternal life. Because of his mercy. And I remind you, it's not smiling at sin or breaking God's law and cherishing that. That's not the idea at all. But because I am forgiven, I forgive others. All right? Because I am forgiven, because I have mercy, I show mercy. I have the love of God, I show love. I have his kindness, I show kindness. Merciful, I show mercy. That's it. That's a key to it. Very, very important. To admit before God, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm failing and I need your mercy. And God always shows us his mercy. A very distinguished member of the royal family This is going back quite a ways now. Went down to the galley of a ship where they had the prisoners. And he went to one prisoner and he said, "Why are you here?" He said, "I got a raw deal." Another one says, "All right," says, "I'm innocent. I didn't do it." Another one, and they all made excuses, and they were guilty, found guilty, and but everyone said that they were innocent. Anyhow, he came to one old man. He said, "Why are you here?" He said, "Oh, sir," he said, "I did an awful deed. I've lived to regret it. Not a day goes by but that I think of the wretchedness of my heart. Oh, sir, if I had to do it again, I'd never commit that awful act." And you know what the member of the royal family did? He said, "You wretch, you good for nothing. What are you doing here amongst all these good people? God, set this man free." He was the only one that admitted, you see, that he was no good, he was guilty, and he was shown mercy. He said, "You got no right to be down here with all these good people." So he took him out and set him free. The man who comes before God in that attitude will obtain mercy. Don't come with our pomps and pride and feel that we're better than everybody else. And no, mercy says, "You are a sinner. I will show you mercy." We've got some beautiful stories in the Bible. And I remind you, because I am forgiven, I am to forgive. That is perhaps the foundation of mercy. Suppose God dealt with us according to our transgression. Would we be here today? I wouldn't be able to sing these songs. But God is a merciful God. Remember in Matthew 18, don't turn to it. Remember the man who owed the king, what, $10 million? I use that figure. It's more than that, really. And he couldn't pay. Remember that story? And the king sent his servants out, grabbed him, and were ready to choke him. And brought him into the king, and he said, "You owe me all of that money." He said, and he begged him for mercy. He said, "I cannot pay, but I promise you, I will try in all my power to pay my debt back." Humanly impossible. But the king, it says, had compassion on him and showed him mercy and forgave him his debt. Boy, when he came out, he was singing, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And before he got through the chorus, now I'm going to use my imagination, see. And he looked across the street and he saw a man that owed him $100. He ran over to the man across the street, grabbed him around the throat and choked him. He said, "You owe me $100. He said, "But I don't have any money. I can't pay you." He said, "You can't." So he dragged him to the magistrate's court and put the man in prison because he owed him $100. But that's not the end of the story. The king heard about it. He said, "You wretch, I forgave you $10 million. And you couldn't forgive your neighbor $100? Put him in prison and bind him. Let him be there with weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Never let him see the daylight of the sun again." Boy, now that I want to tell you. You know who told that story, don't you? The Lord Jesus himself. The serious thing, if when I know that I've been shown mercy and failed to show mercy in return. Sometimes it's very difficult, I know. Because grace, you have a man in his sins. Mercy, you find a man in his misery. Let me repeat that. Grace, you find a man in his sin, and grace forgive. Mercy, you see him in his wretchedness and in his misery. And grace and mercy are like brother and sister. They go together. And we have the thought then, mindful of others. On the cross, what were the gaping remarks? What did they slander the Lord Jesus for? What was the main thrust of their contempt, if you will? What was it? What did they throw at him, gnashing their teeth? They said, what? He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Oh, how foolish. I'm so glad that he didn't try to save himself. It was the only way he was going to show mercy to us. Mercy is the reverse of self-centeredness. Christ gave himself to all and to the individual. The pagan world doesn't know anything about this. They'll strap a bomb around them and go into a theater and commit what they think is a gallant act and commit suicide by killing 26 people. Or like recently in that cafeteria and in that bus with women and children and so on. You know, this is how they reason. Get rid of the enemy, kill him. No matter if you give your own life. Some of those men think that by giving themselves up like that, by killing others, that when they get to what they believe heaven, they're going to get 7 wives as a reward. Can you imagine that? The stupidity and the ignorance of the Word of God. They're pleasing Allah in their language. And so it goes on in the world like this. The pagan world doesn't know anything of this mercy. Many, many years ago, I read of you've heard of Napoleon. How many of young people heard of Napoleon Bonaparte? You ever read about him in school, St. John? Napoleon was a man that, like most of those men who were egotistical, that is, war, conquer, and to gain and to get. But in one occasion, one of his soldiers committed an awful act, treason. And the mother pled for her son. She said, but sir, please show mercy on my son. Let him live. And Napoleon said this, your son does not deserve mercy. And the mother with tears in her eyes said, but sir, if he deserved mercy, it wouldn't be mercy at all. I'm asking you for mercy, sir, not justice. Napoleon says, well, I never thought of it that way. He says, I will let your son live, but he'll be in prison. You see, none of us deserve mercy. If you say you deserve it, then it wouldn't be mercy at all. It's undeserving, that is, we're undeserving of his mercy, of his grace. God delivered me from my sin. He delivered us from our transgression. He gave us his salvation in his son, Christ dying on the cross. Oh, this wonderful mercy. I'm glad he didn't give us what we deserve. But rather, because what we deserve, he would not give it, because that is mercy. That is mercy. Rome, at that time, were very merciless. They were hard people, especially to the slaves. And even the children of the slaves. Some of the things they did were so awful that I don't even want to repeat it in the pulpit this morning. What they did to their slaves and to the children of their slaves. This name may not mean anything to you. Not important that you remember his name, but his name Vidius Pollio. Very funny name to have. You know what he done to his slave? Because he broke one little goblet, one little drinking cup, he threw him into these man-eating fish, the pool, alive, and he watched these piranhas literally devour that slave. Broke a little cup. That's how cruel they were. And this may shock a lot of people, but I hear him quoting like Aristotle and Seneca, these great Greek philosophers, long before Christ was born. They were men who wrote books, and you'd be surprised how many people think that they're like little gods in their writing. But you know what Aristotle said? This is good to remember. Aristotle said, let there be a law that if a child that's deformed is born, kill it. Now that's Aristotle and all his philosophy. I know deformed children brought more joy to their parents in the world than the normal children. protect me out if I'm wrong. I tell you, I could tell you people back in Bermuda who were born with deformity. What would we have enjoyed? In fact, today he is preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia, Keith Kaiser, who we had here not long ago. Do you know him, Joey? Keith was born with a deformity, except nothing was wrong with his mouth. And that man, that young man, can't preach. What, 29 years of age? If Aristotle had his way and he lived today, we wouldn't have had a Keith Kaiser, would we? But that was their philosophy, you see. Hitler was the same way. He wanted a strong society. He wanted no Jews, no black people. He didn't want anything but a pure race. That's what he aimed for. That's why he killed 6 million of the Jewish people. They were a threat to him. Seneca, who was one of the great philosophers as well, along with Aristotle, he said, when a dog is mad, what do? We knock it on the head, we kill it. A fierce or savage ox, we kill it. Sickly sheep, we put the knife to them, keep them from infecting the flock. Well, we can understand that if it's going to infect the other flock. We drown children that are weakly and abnormal. He said, it is not anger, it's reason. Now, how can abnormal children affect other abnormal children? You could have your child playing with an abnormal child all life. It's not catchy. And they try to reason now, sick, diseased animals should be separated from the other animals by killing it. And they want to apply that to human beings as well. In fact, today, our society, if you don't notice it, is creeping in at the animal kingdom, and humankind is on the same level. In fact, they got more television coverage than a lot of people. I'm never able to get on TV coverage. That would be popular. Man, if I was a stray dog or a cat up in the tree, that would be top priority on Channel 9 News, Channel 7 News out of Miami. Right or wrong? I don't get that kind of publicity. I don't want it, to tell you the truth. Oh, boy. Warped society. His arguments separate the harmful from the sound. Well, awful philosophy. There's got to be an effort on our part. You know, mercy shown is not something you just, comes natural otherwise. It's not a natural thing to show mercy. It requires effort. And I'm sure the Lord had this in mind when he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It demands more than pity. It's an active word, not just an emotional state, but it's motion, not just emotion, but motion. Am I making sense here? It's active. It demands initiative. I have to determine to show mercy. And let me tell you, we're human, we're all alike, and sometimes it's very difficult. Very difficult. But only God, Christ, and us can help us to do this. Thirdly, this thing is relative to God. It is, Micah says in chapter 7, verse 18, he said, God delights in mercy. That's wonderful. He's happy when he shows mercy. Happy. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. Now that's not being very delightful, is it? Yeah, I'll show you mercy, but when the time comes for you to show me mercy, you better not forget me. Like the two boys that were fighting that night, and the mother said, Tommy, don't do that, don't do that. Suppose your little brother George dies tonight. You'll be sorry that you ever fought. Now tell him you're sorry. And Tommy turned to George and he said, George, I'm sorry. He said, I'm very sorry. Now that's mercy. And then he turned to his mom. He said, but if he ain't dead in the morning, look out. He said, the fight going on. That's not mercy. Continuing the battle because you couldn't see the end result. You know, you smile at that, but you'd be surprised how many of us are like that sometimes. Psalm 36 and 5. Did you know mercy is so big that it reaches heaven? Right from earth. You show mercy, it shoots up like an arrow to heaven, and God sees it in his throne room of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 1 Chronicles 16:34, it's enduring. Says it endureth forever. Job 37:13, you have mercy in nature. God shows, gives us rain. He gives us the sun and the moon by night to shine in nature itself. He clothes the land with food, with fruit. Oh, he's merciful. You see it in nature. He delivered the Israelites from Egypt. That's a historical truth where he showed mercy to Israel. And spiritually, he showed mercy to Peter when Peter cried a very short prayer. Remember when he walked on the water and he was beginning to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus reached down and held him from going under. And he showed him mercy, real spiritual mercy. And you as a sinner and I, as a sinner, remember the day when you call upon the name of the Lord and you cried for salvation. You cried for mercy and he showed us mercy. Didn't turn us away. For him that cometh to me, I will in what? I will in no wise cast out. That's mercy. That's mercy. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Christian kindness, the word eleos. Do you know a greater picture than Joseph and his brothers? If there's ever a story we, our children used to love, couldn't wait till we got to when we were reading the story Bible book, was when we came to Joseph. Oh, they loved that. But they always want to get to that end part. See, they knew the story, but no matter how many times we read it, they were always excited. What was Joseph going to do? Well, they knew what Joseph was going to do. I often try to reason, you know, or imagine what it must have been like when Joseph saw his brothers after all those years, what they did to him. And let's face it, they were tough. They put him in that pit to die. They meant for him to die. It wasn't for Reuben, who said, no, we will not shed blood this day. But they went home and lied to their daddy, and they looked, they dipped his coat in this blood, goat's blood, and said, oh, my son, Joseph is dead. This is his coat of many colors that I have made. Oh, look at the anguish and the pain they brought to old Father Jacob. Those brothers were cruel. And so you know the story well, how he went down to Egypt, and because God's mercy, God raised him up. Wherever Joseph went, he was a blessing to people. You ever notice that? In Potiphar's house, Potiphar props. In the prison, they made him chief guard. And the prisoners liked it. Wherever he was, but he was a man with the gift of interpreting dreams, and now he's the second in command in Egypt. He's got the keys to the barn of all the corn in Egypt, and everybody has to come to him. And Israel and his family were starving. Jacob and his family were starving. He had very little means. They said, we hear that there's corn down in Egypt. Yeah. But they didn't know who was in charge of the corn. But when they went down there, they still didn't know. And Joseph went into that room, he says, and he wept. His bowels moved. Because all this affects your inner part. You ever notice that? Emotional stress or joy or whatever it is. Deep emotion, sudden death. It always affects you here. It always does that. Chest, whole system. He went inside and he wept and he wept and he wept. Finally, he washed his face and he came out and, you know, now comes the real moment. Then he had to reveal himself. I am Joseph, your brother. First they fell back aghast. Joseph. They fell on their knees. And they put, no doubt, clenched their hands up like this to say, go Joseph, Joseph, be merciful. Don't read that, but I'm sure they must have cried for mercy. They remembered what they did to Joseph. And Joseph said, don't be alarmed.
Don't be alarmed.
You meant it for evil, but God had a plan. God had a plan. But the thing is that even when old Jacob was alive, they always had fear that when Jacob, their father, died, that Joseph was really going to crack their knuckles. But he did. Even after Jacob died, Joseph assured them of his mercy and assured them of his love. Rather than show vengeance or retaliation, he showed them mercy. We can go on and on. There's a Good Samaritan story. He condemned the Pharisees. You know why? They lacked mercy. Righteous people. But they had no mercy. Impotent man at the pool. Christ showed him mercy. We have problems and difficulties. And God manifests himself in the flesh, identifying himself with us because of his redemptive work through mercy. God took a body. And he was Jesus. And he died in your place and in my place. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad he did. This wonderful love. Now, time is gone, and there's so many other illustrations here, biblical illustrations on mercy, but I believe we've said enough, and I trust that we'll remember it, and sometimes we need the power of God in our hearts to show mercy. From a human point of view, you cannot always do it in your own strength. You have to conclude that. You have to understand that. There are times when mercy is to be shown, but it's got to be a God-given a gift in your heart to show that mercy. Not always easy, but it does pay off. And the greatest act, of course, on the cross when Jesus cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they thank God for this mercy, shall we?